Hey, everyone out there at Mental Asylum, really honored and privileged today to be speaking to Benji Barrett, who's the lead guitarist.
Yes.
For... Hey, Benji, thank you very much for joining us.
Always, thank you for having me.
So, you know, your band, They Obliviscaris, I think this is a really exciting band, a really exciting metal band doing some pretty exciting stuff.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm pretty thrilled about Urn, you know, the new album.
Yes, so am I.
I was going to ask you if you don't mind just to give our listeners a little bit of info about the album, about its release, and Miracle Jumpin'. Yeah, thanks.
Well, the album came out about like what, 3 weeks ago now through Season of Mist, so it's our second album with Season of Mist, and we are already on the road in the USA promoting the new album, and yeah, it's a bit different from... I guess the two previous albums, but that's what we do. If you guys are familiar with the band, we don't really tend to repeat ourselves, and we just try new things every time, so there's a bit of a change of direction, I guess, because we got a new producer as well, so I think the production suits the music a little better, so I guess it's a little heavier, there's maybe a little less notes, but just as much value, I would say. And the lyrical content, well, it's all the lyrics and the graphics are linked to each other. So as you can see on the cover, you can see Mother Earth pouring the sun onto herself. And the lyrical content, well, is surprisingly about death, for a metal album. But not in a bad way. It's more about, it's the thing that bounds us all, you know. So respect life, respect death. And, I guess that's what the album is about. But it's still full of 12-minute songs and heavy riffs and violin.
Yeah, I definitely want to touch on the violin. But let's talk about, you know, you guys, I guess you guys get a lot of labels. You know, people are very quick to label. But what do you think about, how do you categorize yourself if someone asks you to kind of describe?
Yeah, I guess it's some pretty extreme prog-ish metal that with violin and clean vocals. I guess I'd mention that, you know, if I had to put a label on it.
Yeah, you know, I enjoy the mix of instrumentation on the album is fantastic. You know, everyone's band sounds like there's great talent. The violin, though, reminds me a little bit of Mahavishnu Orchestra. Was that ever an influence?
Yeah, of course. Tim loves Jean-Luc Ponty, and so do I, yeah. Yeah, clearly, because he was one of the precursors for electric violin, well, playing the violin amplified, and Tim's a big fan of his work, so, yeah, definitely.
And also, and yourself, I mean, I'll give you props as a lead player and as a left-handed lead player, you know, I have a lot of respect for that as left-handed.
Yeah, it's a tough world, eh? It's tough being lefty. Yeah, well, me, I'm more, you know, I am a metalhead, of course. I love my beautiful death metal, my 90s death metal, my early 2000s black metal, and I love my 70s prog and that stuff, but I'm also big on Eastern European music, you know, gypsy jazz and that kind of stuff, so I play quite a bit of that, and I try to mix that in the kind of licks that I play as well, you know.
That's great, and I definitely hear that. Since you're talking about music you like, I mean, who do you feel like may have influenced your songwriting, or even if it has an influence, who do you like listening to?
Oh, as an influence, like as far as the songwriting goes, so the actual songwriting, I guess I could say like Emperor. I really like all of Ishan's work, you know, even his solo albums, they're fantastic. And then, it sounds very pretentious, I guess, but I listen a lot to Chopin and like the romantic piano music. So even though I'm really fascinated by the actual craftsmanship of the songwriting, you know, the compositions are so fantastic, and I really try to, the way they develop the music and they have different parts, and I really try to recreate that with like heavier music.
It's a
big task, but you know that's the aim I have. You know, land the, you know, what is it? Aim for the mood, land in the stars, kind of thing. Yeah, I can aim maybe, you know, of course far away from it because it's like perfection, but still, you know, that's definitely something I'm inspired by when it comes to composition. Just the way he develops his music, it's crazy. I love it.
And it's interesting, you know, since he was so strictly. Are primarily keyboard focused, and of course you guys are.
Oh, yeah.
But now I think it's also, I think along these lines, it's talk to me about the honor you guys received a year ago for And Plague Flowers.
Sydney. Got studied at the Conservatory of Classical Music. You talking about that?
Yeah. What did
that? Sure. I remember that night so well. Yeah, it was crazy. Well, that was years ago, but yeah, we played a show in Sydney. So we were headlining. I don't think it was like any special tour or anything. We were just having a show in Sydney, and we play. And at the end of the show, so I hang up the merch deck, and I see like an older gentleman, and I'm like, oh, he's here to pick up his son or whatever. And he comes to me, he's like, yeah, shakes my hand, he's like, yeah, great show, man, I really liked it, like, you guys are awesome. I'm like, yeah, cool, okay, I'm glad you like it. He's like, let me introduce myself, I'm Professor, so I forgot his name, forgive me, Professor, blah, 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 of the Conservatory of Classical Music of Sydney, and I love the music, and I think I'd like to have one of your songs studied. I'm like, what? So that was pretty great. So I had to write the score for the... Had to write the score for the song, and they studied it at the University of Sydney. They studied Meshuggah as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that same guy got his students to study like Meshuggah.
Wow, and so you have to write the score too. That's a completely different challenge. I guess that not a lot of guys in the metal world songwriters in the metal world have to actually sit down and write out the music.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that man, like, he's just, you know, I guess he doesn't really listen to heavy metal, but he can definitely appreciate the musicianship in it. So that's cool. That's great.
Yeah. Well, and now let's talk a little bit about the band's history. I recognize you guys have had some struggles to get where you are today. I mean, can you talk about a little bit of some of the difficulties you had to overcome?
Oh, definitely. Well, I guess we just got a new bass player. He's not even officially in the band yet, but our old bass player had to go early at the beginning of the year, and that was a terrible time for everyone. And we found a new guy in Italy who's been filling it. For him, he's been doing the American tour. He's great, except for that, we've had the same lineup for like 10 years. I've been in the band since almost 10 years. I've joined in 2008. When the band first started, you know, they had lineup issues, of course. Like they had like 10 people coming in and out of the band, but yeah, we've had a very solid core for like almost 10 years.
And then I understand there was some. There's some static about your crowdsourcing, just how you're kind of raising funds for the band. Can you address that at all a little bit?
Sorry, one more time, the crowdfunding? So.
Yeah, I understand that you had to answer, that there was some criticism. Actually, can I jump in and just say, I'd like to hear you talk about the positive side of it too, because I think it's really interesting.
It works. You know, it does its job. We can actually afford to be on the road, and you know, the math kids don't go starving. You know, we're all in our 30s, so it's not like we're 24 and can go back to mom's when the tour's finished and not have to worry about anything. You know, everybody's got mortgage and stuff, and it's not there's no money in heavy metal. Okay, it's pretty simple. Like, everybody knows that. So there's no money in heavy metal. There's no money in the music industry anyway. So you gotta try and find your own way. You know, I'm not saying this is the perfect solution, but we're not forcing anyone. And those who do it are pretty damn happy about it. And that's it. I mean, it helps us stay on the road. So, you know, at the end of the day, even those who don't like it, they still get to enjoy it because we get to still come to the town, you know? We can get like some lights. So we have a better show. So everybody has a better show. And, you know, that kind of stuff. When it comes, criticism, whatever, I'm all happy to listen to it. But what can I say? At the end of the day, we're not forcing anyone. We're not threatening anything. So if you're willing to help, go for it. If you're not, it's cool. No worries. And most of the criticism came, you know, I got a lot of support from people who tried 20 years to make something good in this industry and failed, you know? I get great musicians who were in fantastic bands and never made a dime out of it. And like big names, you know, people you would know, people, a lot of people would know, and they've done it for 20 years, and one day they're like, you know, I'm almost 40 years old, I gotta get a fucking 9-to-5 because it's not going anywhere. And yeah, and those people, they support me because they're like, man, I wish I had thought of that. And those I get the most criticism from, I guess they are the people who are coming on 40 and are like, oh, maybe I should have thought about that. And they're still not making it, you know, because it's terrible. It's not very, very hard to do. So, you know, when it comes to criticism, you know, it's mostly on social media, and I don't use social media. So it's pretty simple. As far as, my life is great on a day-to-day basis. Nobody comes to me. Nobody comes to me and is like, what you're doing is a terrible thing. I haven't had that in person, you know, once. So to me, I don't really see any criticism because in actual real life, well, nobody comes to me and tells me that what I do is terrible.
Okay.
I guess that's that. But yeah, that's cool. And, you know, everybody's got something that you... You know, it's such, at the end of the day, you know, it's such a tiny world, the heavy metal world. It's so small, it's so hard to make anything out of it. Like, why would you make it any harder for the others, you know?
Right.
So it's not like, we're not talking about pop music or, you know, where there's actually a lot of money to be made, you know? It's not the same.
Right. And, at all. And I would say clearly from watching your videos and listening to the music, I mean, you guys are... Clearly, you guys are in it for the art and for the love of it, not to make a, you know, Taylor Swift pop song.
No, clearly. You know, I moved to Australia for this. I mean, I don't know many people who have sacrificed as much as I have for music, so I have a hard time taking shit from those people.
Well said. And you know, that was a perfect segue, because I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Australian metal scene. You know, I think there's been a vanishing point, and there have been some great bands that have come out recently, especially in the prog and power metal out of Australia. What's it like there?
Yes, it's fantastic. Melbourne in particular, the Australian scene is fantastic. Like, the level of the bands is just out of control. That's actually one of the things I was really impressed about when I moved to Australia, is that the local shows are awesome. Like, the bands are really killing it. And yeah, so do I have a bit of an explanation for this? Australia is such a big melting pot of cultures, but you can find that in the music as well. You know, everybody's mixing plenty of different things, and they do it really well. And everybody's happy about it, you know? They're not really, I only listen to strictly death metal, you know, strictly power metal and whatnot. You know, people mix everything, and it suits everyone, so that's something that I really like. Yeah, it's great. And I wish the world would get to see more of Australian bands, but it's just too damn expensive to get out of there.
Well, and you mentioned that you're on tour right now in the U.S. Is that tour? Are you getting a crowd? What's your response been like over here in the States?
Tonight we're playing in, where am I? Houston. I'm in Houston. I'm calling you from the locker room of a fitness or LA fitness, one of them.
Okay.
The tour's going well. There's only like 4 shows left, unfortunately. But we've had some great crowds. We had some great nights. It's been a good success. And our touring buddies, Allegion, are absolutely awesome. Great band.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're great. It's a great deal. So come on, $15. Not inexpensive. You had a good show.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a little late in this tour. Hopefully people can get out to the last remaining shows. But, yeah, let's kind of wrap up and tell me a little bit about, you know, you have a great new album that just came out and, you know,
yep.
Touring now. What's in the future for Nave with Scars?
Now that we've got the album's just got released, we've got the rest of the world to tour. So we will be in Australia in February and Europe, March, April, and then probably going to do the European festival season. Next summer, and probably back to the USA within a year. and Asia in the middle somewhere, you know, we're just going to tour this beautiful planet as much as we can and write music in between whenever we can and keep the ball rolling because that's what we want to do and that's what we're here to do.
Right. Well, you got my support. It's a great band, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Keep playing the lefty guitar. Keep shredding on the lefty.
Yeah, it's too late to change. Yeah, it's way too late now.
Right. Yeah, no,
thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.